Shalom Aleichem. Obviously not a Jewish crowd here this evening. Let me introduce myself. My name is Zechariah. If you were Jewish, you would understand right away that my name has special significance. You see, my name means the Lord is legendary. My life story, like the life story of so many other people, is not really about me. It's about Him. It's His story. The Lord, the legendary things that the Lord has done for me and for all people. You see, the Lord chose me, to be the father of John the Baptizer. The chapter in God's saving plan that I was privileged to be a part of started when I was quite old. As the King James aptly puts it, well stricken in years. You would call me, probably, a senior citizen. The kind of person you'd give a gold watch and put safely into the custody of his wife. I was also a man of the cloth, a priest from the division of Abijah. You see, in our religious system, there were 24 divisions of priests. And in each of these divisions, they would serve and carry out the duties of the temple. Each division would serve twice a year for 1 week, 8 days, from Shabbat to Shabbat, from Sabbath to Sabbath. Now, my better half, Elizabeth, was the daughter of a priest, so both of us came from a long line of church workers. As you just heard in the Gospel of Luke, there's a phrase that he used for us. He said that we were upright in the sight of God. I think that's a little bit funny, considering my age. I am not near as upright as I used to be. He also said that we were blameless, that we observed God's regulations and decrees blamelessly. Now, that doesn't mean that we were without sin. Certainly, goodness knows not. But what it does mean, it means that our faith was not just a going through the motions, like it seems to be for so many people today. For us, our faith was not just a part of our life, something that we thought about only once a week when the Sabbath came around. For us, our faith was our life. It was everything. And we enjoyed our life serving the Lord. Our one great sadness was that we never had children. You see, in our society, our culture, it's considered a curse to be barren. Some even thought it was punishment for past sins. And I remember times when women would snicker behind my wife's back when we were out in the marketplace. That hurt. She cried herself to sleep more times than I could count. You know, for years, we prayed that God in His mercy would see fit to give us a child. We prayed until it just didn't make sense to pray anymore. We weren't going to have a child. We couldn't have a child. There's a lesson I think that you can learn from me. Because I quit praying for a child. So much time had gone by, I thought that God didn't care, that God wasn't listening, that God wasn't going to answer. And maybe there are times when you feel that way too, huh? When you pray, and you feel that those prayers are being wasted, that God isn't listening to you. Well, don't be surprised, because I'm going to tell you my story now. You see, one day an opportunity came, an opportunity that I've been waiting really my entire life for. I was chosen by lot to burn the incense on the golden altar in the holy place. I had been wanting to do this ever since I was a child. I was, of course, very excited, maybe a little bit apprehensive. This was an awesome opportunity, but also a heavy responsibility. So I was careful to make sure that I carried out the rubrics of my duties very carefully. I spread out the coals on the golden altar. I placed the incense according to the prescription. And then the smoke began to rise. It's a beautiful picture, really. It's a picture of our prayers going up to the Lord. The Lord once said that those prayers, they smell beautiful in his nostrils. The Lord loves it when we trust him so much that we're willing to open up and share whatever it is on our hearts and on our minds. Well, then it happened. The angel of the Lord, there at the right side of the altar of God, brilliant, fearsome, majestic. "Do not be afraid," was his first words to me. Too late. "Do not be afraid. Are you kidding?" I was terrified. But you know, every time that an angel of the Lord appeared to one of God's people, those are the words he spoke. Do not be afraid. You know, it's funny. I knew in my head that I had nothing to be afraid of, that God is a gracious God. And yet in that moment, seeing the holy angel of God, it's like when I needed my faith the most, I forgot everything. Have you ever done that? Well, so the angel spoke to me next, and I'll never forget what he said. The angel said, "The Lord has heard your prayer, Zechariah. You and your wife Elizabeth will have a child." Wait a second. We'll have a child? Lord, do you know how long ago Elizabeth and I had quit praying for a child? We had given up, but obviously the Lord had not given up on us. My first response, of course, was, "Lord, how can this be? A child at our age? And why now? I mean, we're way too old for this kind of thing." And yet the angel of the Lord told us that this was true. You know what I should have been doing, right? I should have been marveling that the Lord had chosen to answer my prayer. Are there things that you've been praying for, that you've given up on, that you feel God won't answer that prayer? Well, look at me, and look what God did for me. I assure you that God has heard that prayer, and he will answer in one way or another. So the angel went on, and he began to describe to me what my son will be like when he grows up. Imagine, not many parents get that opportunity. He specified 8 things. I remember them vividly. He said, first of all, his name is to be John, which means the Lord is gracious. How appropriate. That he would be a joy and delight to Elizabeth and myself. That many others would also rejoice in his birth. That he would be great in the sight of the Lord. That he was never to drink wine or any other alcoholic beverage, but was to be filled instead with the Holy Spirit. He would bring many people of Israel back to the Lord, and he would restore family unity and concern for righteousness. But last and not least, he would go ahead of the Lord. Get this, the Messiah in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Think of it. My son was being given this incredible mission. He would be the one who would prepare the hearts of God's people for the coming of their Savior. Oh, for weeks, for months, I dreamed about what I would teach this child. I dreamed about where we would go. Yet the angel had, even though he's my child, the angel had said, didn't he, that he was first and foremost to be a servant of the Lord. You know that's true for your children and your grandchildren too. Now, I wasn't called here this evening to tell you that your son is called to be a pastor someday, or that your daughter will one day teach English as a foreign language in China and serve our missions there. But it's true that your child belongs to the Lord. Have you encouraged your child to think about serving in the full-time ministry? Are you willing to sacrifice what needs to be sacrificed to allow that to happen? You know, in my day, you would have to be a descendant of Moses' brother Aaron in order to be a priest. But it's not like that today. Today, God takes mechanics' kids, office workers' kids, and he makes them his ambassadors. Wouldn't you feel proud if your child grew up to be an ambassador of the King of all kings? I hope that you think about that, you pray about it, and you talk to your children. You know, not every believer necessarily is to become a full-time worker, but certainly every one of us should be thinking about how we can serve the Lord wherever it is that God has placed us in life. But I digress, don't I? Back to my story. So how do you think I responded to the angel? You would think a mature believer like me would high-five that angel, tear out of the temple, and tell everybody the great news. I'm ashamed that that's not the way it happened. No faith-filled hero here. I doubted. I doubted. And I questioned the angel of the Lord. In my heart, I said, no way. And then out of my lips, there it came. I mean, how could I know this could be? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years. It just seemed too hard to believe. And yet, is anything impossible for the Lord? What was I thinking? And here's another lesson that you can learn from me. Never be too old or too practical to expect great things from God. When God says that he will do something, no matter how big or amazing or impossible it may seem, he can do it. There is nothing that God cannot do. He fed our people 40 years as we wandered through the wilderness. He raised the dead. I think this is a mistake we often make in life. We shortchange ourselves because we believe that the arm of the Lord is too short to accomplish what we desire. Think of all the things we've missed out on in life because we didn't have the faith to ask God for the big things. Speaking of big things, God was merciful to me. He could have withdrawn his hand of blessing, but instead his angel put me in my place. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent, and you will not speak until the day that this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the proper time. I deserved that, didn't I? Well, I don't know how long it was that all this took place, but the people outside the temple, they were becoming a bit anxious, as you might expect. Where is this guy? Is he okay? Has he had a heart attack? Little did they know. And when I went out, it didn't really help much. Imagine it, the situation. A priest of God who has just seen a vision of the angel of the Lord, and I'm speechless. I'm a new father-to-be, and I cannot share this good news. I am bursting inside, but I cannot speak a word. And think about how inconvenient it is for a priest to lose his voice. I was supposed to speak a blessing to the people and send them off. They probably thought I'd forgotten the words like some rookie. All I could do was make motions with my hands until they finally understood. Again, I should have known better, shouldn't I? I should have known that when God says something, he does it. You know that there's an idiom in our Hebrew language? We call it the prophetic future. We talk about things that God is going to do in the future as though they already happened. For you to be like saying right now, your Green Bay Packers have won their game against the Texans, even though that's tomorrow. That's how sure you are of victory. That's how sure we were that God would accomplish whatever he said. You see, God keeps every promise that he makes. His Bible, the book that he's given you of his word, is full of those promises. And he will keep every one. You can be sure of it. Hold him to those promises. He loves it when you do that. You know, speaking of keeping his promises, Elizabeth did conceive. After that, we received even greater news, if that's possible. You see, when Elizabeth was in her 6th month, her cousin Mary came to visit, and she told us her awesome story. The angel Gabriel had also spoken to her. The angel told her that she would be the mother of the Messiah, that her son, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, would be the Son of the Most High God. My cousin, can you believe it? The mother of the Messiah. We have been waiting for this for thousands of years, and now it was happening before our very eyes. It was so hard to believe. Then the day came when John was born, my son. Can you believe it? My son, my dreams come true. He was everything the angel said he would be. In fact, I might be a bit biased, but I believe that I've never seen anyone quite like him. Jesus himself will one day call him the greatest man that's come from a woman. On the 8th day, we had him circumcised. On that day, all our relatives came, the cousins and nieces and nephews, our neighbors, and all our friends joined us. This was a big day. We were going to give my son his name. And everyone else, of course, they thought that he should get the name Zechariah after his old man. But Elizabeth, she corrected them. Elizabeth instead told them that his name would be John. Now, they were confused by this, of course, because there was no one in our family with that name. And so when they asked me, I set them straight. I took out an old wax tablet and I scribbled on there what has become known as the first written words of the New Testament. His name is John. John, the Lord is gracious. The perfect name for the child who will grow up to be the one who announces the coming of the Savior. You know, someone once said that the Bible was written because of sin, and yet grace flows out of every single page. John would be my son. Well, I'd no sooner lay down the tablet, I felt something tingling in my throat. I was filled with excitement because I knew that the angel's words had come true, that my voice, my tongue had been loosed. I was able to speak for the first time in more than 9 months. But not only that, I was filled with God's Holy Spirit. What would I say? What song of praise would I sing to the Lord? I was overwhelmed, not just because of the birth of my son, but also because of the words that the angel had spoke to Mary, what was soon to take place. I was thinking about Mary's greater son. I remember the history of my people, the longing of our hearts through the ages, the crying out of the prophets of the Lord, the scriptures and God's prophecy again and again of the coming Savior from sin. Here was the answer to our greater prayers, the one who would fulfill every human desire. My inspired song, it's called the Benedictus, the Latin translation of the first word. Benedictus means blessed. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, I sang, for he has visited and redeemed his people. Blessed. Really, we're the ones who are blessed, right? God sent us his son. God became a human being so that we could be redeemed from our sin. This is what Christmas is all about. Peace, true peace on earth, God and sinners reconciled, a great and mighty wonder, joy, joy to the world. Zechariah, the Lord is legendary. He keeps his promises. He hears our prayers. He kept his promise. He heard our prayer for mercy, and he sent a Savior. So who now? Who can keep us from singing his praises? You know, I was silent for a long time, but I will not be silent anymore. I invite you to join me as we open up our hearts and sing our praises to our legendary God, the song that I once sang. Please stand as we sing. The God of Israel, who comes to set us free. He visits and redeems us, he grants us liberty. The prophet spoke of mercy, of freedom and release. God shall fulfill his promise and bring his people peace. He from the house of David a child of grace has given. A Savior comes among us to raise us up to heaven. Before him goes his herald, forerunner in the way. The prophet of salvation, the harbinger of day. On prisoners of darkness, the dawning of forgiveness upon the sinner's eyes. He guides the feet of pilgrims along the paths of peace. Oh, bless our God and Savior with songs that never cease. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.